And I'm joined here now on the line with Ciara Norton, who's going to discuss Dublin Teen Cycling Ambassadors' Call for Equality. Good afternoon, Ciara. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
Thanks for having us.
You're so welcome. We're delighted to have you. This is a wonderful cause, and I'm a little bit passionate about this myself, as I do have a daughter. Well, she's not a teenager anymore, but she's in her early 20s and she will not cycle. So you are going to discuss this with me about teen girls, and basically it's why they do not cycle to school and the barriers that are there for them not to cycle. So tell us all about the project that you are taking in.
Yeah, so I work with the Green Schools Programme, and a couple of years ago, I suppose we've always known and noticed that teenage girls don't cycle in the same numbers as their male peers, but also that like there's a huge drop off between girls who cycle to school in primary school and when they go to secondary school. And there's natural reasons for this. They might secondary schools tend to kind of have larger catchment areas. They might like to walk with friends. But there's also a lot of reasons why cycling isn't kind of made for teen girls, and how that feeds into like their perceptions of it and then their uptake of it. So, you know, you've loads of schools or towns around the country where no teenage girls cycle to school, where it's just, you know, there's nobody there. And we found that for like 1 in 250 teenage girls cycle to school every day. And I think that's from the 2016 census data. So that's even, I would think, a positive or not an optimistic figure. You know, I don't know if it fully reflects the daily race of cycling. So we started a campaign in 2019 called And She Cycles, hashtag And She Cycles. And it was about kind of talking to the young people in question and asking them like about their experiences and their thoughts and what they think should improve, or, you know, what we could do for them. And out of that, in 2020, we started the And She Cycles Ambassador campaign or program. And that was about kind of bringing the campaign into schools and allowing them to, you know, speak to their own peers and, you know, kind of come up with solutions for their own barriers. Because, you know, there's only so much that we felt we could accomplish by speaking to the teenage girls and talking about these issues without giving them the tools to bring into their own schools and make those changes. And then recently we had our second year of awards, and we had students from Malahide Community School and Loretto Swords and three other Dublin schools who were at the ceremony, and they were awarded as ambassadors.
It's just amazing. They lobbied for better infrastructure, and they also applied for funding and for bike parking at their school. Is that correct?
Yeah, so the girls did loads of different projects and initiatives, and so a lot of them would have started out doing simple things like a survey to just figure out like why their friends weren't cycling to school. And not all of these girls themselves cycle to school. Like, we're in a situation where we really just want to get the conversation started.
Right.
You know, we've had like published research recently that you know, shows that it's not that these girls get up in the morning and think, no, I won't cycle to school today. They literally, they're in a society that has kind of made that decision for them in a lot of ways. So, you know, there's like huge barriers there for them to overcome. And this is just one way that we can do it, which is encouraging them to kind of, you know, get on their bikes. And so some of them would have had cycle training in their schools, or, yeah, they applied and got the funded cycle parking from Green Schools. And then a lot of them had like, you know, they might have initiatives where they had like raffles or prizes if you cycle to school.
Great.
And a lot of them took the time to speak to, say, the first year classes in their school, because they're the students who may have been cycling to school the year before.
Right.
But something has changed and they're not doing it anymore. And, you know, so that like they did kind of really nice stuff like that, where they kind of just engaged with each other and spoke about it and just brought the issue up. And, you know,
brilliant.
The more they speak about it, the more they might realize, you know, what is stopping us? We can do this. The girls are great. They're really, really good bunch this year.
They're just fantastic. I mean, the barriers, I suppose, for teen girls, I mean, one screams at me is the school bags. I know that's an issue for every school child. Skirts, hair, helmets, rain. You know, I mean, my two boys cycle to school, not every day, but every other day. And yesterday came home absolutely drenched. So, I mean, boys can just, I suppose, you know, get on with it, strip off. But girls don't tend to do that. It's the hair and, you know, the skirts, yeah, the uniform. So that's one barrier, I suppose. So how did the girls get over these barriers, for example? You know, how did they overcome this to encourage other girls?
Yeah, like I know myself, I cycled home yesterday and I arrived home soaked, but I suppose I was on the right journey to be heading home and getting soaked rather than heading into school or work. Yeah, changing facilities is an issue where, you know, they may not have access to changing facilities first thing in the morning.
Sure.
Some schools may have uniform policies that require them to always be in uniform on school grounds, so perhaps they don't have the opportunity to arrive in what they might feel is a more cycle-friendly outfit, like leggings or, you know, tracksuit bottoms. You know, so we've had ambassadors in previous years kind of engage with the board of management and say, you know, we could make the school a better place if we had like a looser uniform policy or a different uniform policy. The heavy bags is for everyone, really. So locker facilities, you know, some of the students have, you know, kind of changed locker facilities or asked for, you know, better ones or bigger ones or, you know, access to certain ones at different times of the day. And yeah, like the helmets and the hair, it's, I suppose we do have this perception of cycling as kind of as the weather being terrible a lot of the time, and I think yesterday was the first time that I've been soaked in a long time.
Yeah, it's so true. It was we've had really dry weather actually. It's kind of unusual that yesterday everybody got drowned for the first time in a long time. So
yeah, I was completely unprepared. I'd worn, you know, nothing that was going to help me.
Okay.
I definitely arrived home very, very soaked. But so they've done things like that, and the types of bikes that girls can cycle.
Yes.
You know, so I think the uniforms are an issue, and our research found that, like, you know, one of the avenues is to make the kind of cycling compatible with kind of, you know, so. Kind of the sale and being able to kind of promote Dutch style bikes, you know, the step through bikes.
So
they're more comfortable to cycle in, and then the more that there's separated cycle lanes, the more the cycling infrastructure is safe for everyone. It's also safe for teen girls, and it's also attractive to them, because you know, they do see that our research found that there's this perception of cycling as a very athletic and very kind of daredevil activity almost, and that's why, you know, the teen boys might be doing it.
Of course.
So,
all that adrenaline.
So we need to kind of remove that perception and, you know, say, like, I suppose if teen girls see like their friends doing it, if they see their mothers doing it, and if we can kind of get them at that point where they're leaving primary school and they, you know, they cycle and keep it going into secondary school, there's always going to be a natural fall off or a natural uptake with these things and people's situations. And, you know, some people might just not enjoy cycling, and that's absolutely fine. But for those who would like to do it, we really want to make it an attractive prospect for them.
Yes. My daughter, who never cycled to school, her biggest barrier was safety. She just did not feel safe. And then she did her Erasmus in Utrecht this year. So she was, I think, approximately 5K from the university. So she had no option but to cycle a Dutch style bike. She absolutely loved it. And, you know, she did get drenched and she did sit in class in soaking wet clothes, but she had no option. She had to do this because the other option was a bus, which was quite expensive actually in Utrecht. So she had to just dive right in and take this on. And she really, really enjoyed it. And the other aspect of it is the nature that she witnessed, you know, along her cycling route, and how free she felt. But she wouldn't cycle here. She has not cycled since. And it's a safety aspect. Is that a big barrier? And did the girls come across this when they were doing their surveys and trying to encourage other girls to take up cycling to school?
Yeah, like, it's definitely something that they found with the surveys that they've reported back to us.
Okay.
You know, this perception of cycling is dangerous. And I suppose it's dangerous for everyone. When it's dangerous for everyone. But, and that's what I was saying there, that, like, you know, urban and not so urban areas that have, like, separated cycle lanes and specific cycling infrastructure are attractive to everyone. I suppose, like, Utrecht didn't, like, it's an amazing place to cycle, it's a cyclist utopia, but you know, it didn't start out like that. And,
of course.
We have a way to go, but I think that I can't obviously speak for every town and city in the country, but in Dublin, you know, we do have a lot happening that is positive for cyclists and schools as well, like the Safe Routes to School programme, which Green Schools is operating, has started to install loads of cycle parking, and they're working with schools, a specific cohort of schools, to make, like, real lasting changes to the journey to school for the students in these schools, so that, like, the paths are there, the separate, like, it's not just paint on the road, there's actual, like, safe infrastructure. And I do think that we're on the right track to get there and to make it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, right now, I know myself, like, I cycle most days, I cycle with my children, and yeah, there's definitely moments where you do question your sanity.
Yes.
But it's not every day. And for me, definitely the pros outweigh the cons every single time.
Yes, of course. Now, I'd like to ask you another question, if you don't mind.
Yes.
About helmets. How do you feel about helmets? Because, again, I have a girl and two boys. One boy will wear a helmet. The older guy absolutely will not. And my heart's in my mouth every day because I know he speeds down the Howth Road. He told me he does it in 10 minutes. It would really be a 20-minute cycle. So, you know, how do we encourage them to wear helmets? And did that come up again with the girls? Do girls wear helmets more than guys, or, you know,
girls probably feel they have to wear helmets more than the guys.
Why is that?
I think it's this perception of safety. And, you know, we had one of our engagement with the ambassadors in the past year has been mainly online, obviously, due to school closures and COVID, etc. And we had, like, a thing where we asked them to put it onto a screen, you know, what do their parents say to them when they're heading out on their bike? And, you know, it's always like, be careful, wear your helmet, like, you know, stay safe, whenever. And, like, you know, what do you think they say to your brothers or to a boy? And it's all very much like, oh, enjoy yourself, have a good time. I mean, I know that, like, parents obviously have concern for their sons as well, but it's a very different, you know, to the girls' perception, it feels like, you know, from the get-go, they're being told, like, you know, this is a very dangerous thing you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, it, wearing helmets has come up. Like, I suppose, ideally, you wouldn't have to wear one because you'd be cycling somewhere safe and you wouldn't, you know, be in a situation where, like, you need the helmet. That's, like, obviously in an ideal world.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. But we don't live in an ideal world. Yeah, so it has come up for girls. And I suppose, like, we've, what we try and do is just encourage them to, like, not worry so much about what their hair might look like after wearing the helmet, or, you know, you can get really cool helmets as well, which is something that, you know, is something to consider. I think that when we think of helmets, we think of that very kind of boring black kind of, you know, like you're heading off on the Tour de France kind of helmet, whereas, like, there's very, very lovely, colourful,
the mammal look.
Very colourful, you know, really lovely helmets out there, like all kind of, you know, silver and gold, really lovely ones that, like, can make it an attractive thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, it feeds into the two findings from our research, which is, like, we have to make, like, cycling an attractive prospect by changing our infrastructure, changing the perception of bikes, so helmets, the type of bikes, and then also, you know, kind of just encouraging young people to just get out there anyway. And, like, you know, if their hair is a little bit messy at the end of the day, so be it. They've enjoyed themselves on their bike.
Yeah, I mean, I cycled to school. I loved it. I mean, I'd no other way to get about. If I didn't cycle, I was left, you know, you wouldn't get to friends' houses. So I was an avid cycler, especially to school when I was in secondary school. And I didn't care less about my hair. There was no helmets. There was no talk of helmets. We just did it. I don't understand. I know the bags have gotten heavier, and I do remember the bag on my back. I think it was, I don't even have, I think I had a bag on my back. It was a side strap full of books, but I used to cycle home for lunch and then cycle back again. I do remember sitting in class wet, but you just got on with it. You know, I suppose with lockdown and schools not being able to, for kids not being able to go to school, that probably hasn't helped the purpose either. But now that, you know, we're in a situation where global warming and we're supposed to be reducing our emissions, etc., cycling really needs to be embraced and encouraged. And the work that you're doing is really absolutely brilliant. And, you know, the programme will continue into 2023, the academic year, and applications will open for the Green Schools programme. So how can schools get involved and encourage our girls to cycle?
So we have an expression of interest form. It's on our Twitter account, at Green Schools IRE. And Green Schools IRE. Mm-hmm. So we'll post the expression of interest there. We have it posted already on Twitter, and it's just literally if your school is interested, or if you as a student are interested in being part of the ambassador program or just learning more about the campaign, you can put your details in there, and we'll be contacting those people in September when we have the application forms ready to go. We're just obviously now, after finishing the last year, in a process of kind of reviewing feedback and working on ways to improve it, because we're only 2 years into the ambassador program, so we're learning every year from the participants. And yeah, so if they want to get involved, and then if you just go to greenschoolsireland.org, there's and search anti-cycles, you'll find the campaign page that has lots of information on the campaign itself and the videos that we have, and statistics and links to the research. So that's all there. It's all at greenschoolsireland.org or on our social media.
That's fantastic, and hopefully you'll get a good uptake from the schools. And give a shout out to Loretto Swords and Malahide Community School. They were participants in and the hashtag And She Cycles award ceremony, and the students there. Do you want to give a shout out to anybody in particular, Ciara?
No, because I don't have all of the names to hand. But okay. It was a big group in Loretto Swords.
Yes.
And two girls, Sive and Julia, in Malahide Community School, and they did really great work. The girls in Swords had like amazing initiatives to get people in every day and kind of incentivize cycling, and the girls in Malahide did like a lot of cycle repair workshops, and they had like kind of a bling your helmet kind of, you know, so there's the helmet coming into it as well.
Great.
They had like a helmet kind of upcycle design workshop, and they included like, you know, all the genders in their school. They weren't like exclusively for the girls, which is a really great way of getting the boys on board, and so that when they, you know, when they're together in the yard, that they don't make any girls arriving on a bike feel like they're doing something deviant. So they did both groups did like amazing work, and
that's brilliant.
The ambassadors in general were excellent this year.
Yeah, fantastic girls. And also, and the boys, of course, we can't forget about the boys. Absolutely. That's another thing now you mentioned there, the repair of bikes. You know, I used to be terrified cycling to school that I would have a puncture and how to deal with that. But I did learn, and you learn, you know, to get through these things. Did that come up as well as one of the barriers, you know, your brakes failing, or, you know, the issues you can have with bicycles?
It's not something that came up, say, in the feedback from the girls, but some of the schools that would have been working with our officers on our travel program, kind of separate to anti-cycles but kind of all part of the one overarching program, would have had like bike repair workshops with our staff, or we also as part of the Green Schools program give part funding to schools to do cycle right workshops as well, or cycle right training. And we also have a couple of like different resources on our YouTube channel, like how to do an M check on your bike before you head out. So you know, you check your brakes, you check your saddle height, you check your chain. We do kind of, that's all part of, I suppose, what we can offer the students. But it hasn't really come up as something that they've, you know, that has been a barrier for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely something that we're keen to kind of
encourage
in the girls and in the students that take part, and, you know, giving them the opportunity to learn like about the bike repair and bike kind of maintenance.
Yeah, it's an important part of cycling, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, I'm not great at it myself. But
no, me neither. But look,
you know, I'm learning every day.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And it's part of it. It's life's a learning curve, especially with them. You know, taking on new projects like cycling. I mean, it is. It's also something that, you know, a lot of people don't have access to either. You know, some kids don't have access to bicycles, which is another, a whole other ball game, isn't it, Ciara?
Yeah, definitely. Mm. A lot of, we had a group in Ballina, and that was something that they very much focused on, trying to, you know, they wrote to local TDs and councillors about like the bringing a similar scheme to bike to work into schools, like a cycle to school scheme, where you know, maybe
good.
Parents might be able to avail of tax-free bikes for their children, and they also kind of wanted bike share schemes maybe within the town for people
right.
to avail of, who, you know, not everyone has a space to store a bike
exactly,
and like all of these things, like the access to bikes is something that has come up, and it's something that we're really going to work on for the next year. So we
great.
Like, I suppose, watch this space for what we can offer the ambassadors in that respect. But
brilliant.
It's something that we are aware of and something that we're working on, but the students themselves are very aware of it.
Great.
So yeah, like they're already campaigning. They've already written to, I think, every local representative type there is out there to ask about these questions. So it's great to get them as well, like, you know, involved in advocacy and outreach and you know, talking and realizing that they have power there too.
Yeah, absolutely. So Ciara, finally, you know, you speak about girls cycling to school, and we think that it's a boys' thing. Well, that's become a thing, hasn't it? That more boys cycle, obviously, and girls don't. So we need to encourage our girls to get on their bicycles and make it safe and make it accessible for girls to use bicycles and have, you know, the confidence, I suppose, to do it as well. That's the thing. Did that come up as well? Confidence,
I suppose like that kind of feeds into all of the different things that we've spoken about and that like our research has touched on and our experience working with the students in the past year, that it my confidence is definitely part of it. But yeah, I suppose there's a load of different other things feeding into that. Like, it's difficult to be confident if no one else is doing what you're doing, and if you're kind of the one person who cycles in every day, you know, you might, your confidence can be worn down. So
yes,
yeah, like it probably, there is an element of that feeding into the girls' perception of cycling. It's all kind of a big melting pot of you know, what society is telling them and what, you know, their parents are telling them and what the schools are telling them and what they're hearing and their own perception of cycling. So yeah, like confidence is a key part.
Yes, okay. Well, onwards and upwards, and hashtag and she cycles, and congratulations to all the students who took part and the ambassadors. You know, they're just amazing, and it's a brilliant project, and long may it last. And hopefully we'll speak to you again in the near future, Ciara. You can tell us how it's going.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, we definitely would love that. Okay, thank you so much for joining us here on Northside today. We really appreciate it, and enjoy the rest of your week here. Thanks a million.
Thank you.
Okay, cheers. Bye.
Bye-bye.